Inside on Business, the news hour is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to a kind of a cool, chilly, cloudy sort of Tuesday. Gene Baker is the president of Gene M. Baker & Associates, a professional training and business coaching company here in Des Moines. She's also an author. She was recently with us talking about her new book, Letting Go, The Sometimes Messy Art of Relinquishment. But today, she's in to talk about a volunteer role that she's associated with. It's called CASA, CASA, the Court-Appointed Special Advocate. Welcome.
Thank
you. To the Business News Hour, Gene. Good to see you again. It's been,
you
what,
too.
Weeks?
Yeah, at least.
Weeks, of course. All right. Tell everybody what CASA is.
Okay. Well, as you said, it's a court-appointed special advocate, and we work with children who are abused or neglected, and we work closely with the juvenile courts. We have just rock star juvenile court judges. And
do you know Odell McGee?
Not personally, but
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Judge McGee.
Yeah. And so there are a lot of people involved when you start having a case like this. And there are lots of attorneys, there are social workers and therapists and mm-hmm. teachers, and it just gets to be a lot of people. But the one goal we all have is to help these kids transition here, hopefully reunify the family. Doesn't always happen, but that's always kind of our goal.
And what are the top two or three reasons that they would need a member of CASA?
Well, you know, CASAs, there aren't enough of us to serve every case and every child that needs one. And so the judges will typically assign a CASA to a case that is, in their, you know, the professional lingo, messy. And so a little more complex, a little messier, a little, you know, more things going on than just maybe a, quote, garden variety case. And so that's when we get to step in.
Okay. So what might some of those messy things be?
Well,
just on the surface.
Yeah. Sometimes in addition to the abuse or neglect, we will also have substance abuse issues in the family. There might be domestic violence. There might be mental health issues. And about anything could come up, but those are kind of the main ones.
All right. So those are some messy things that can go on in a family situation. So
right.
What is the goal of the volunteers, of the CASA volunteer?
Well, the CASA's role is really to advocate on behalf of the child. And sometimes that means telling the judge, you know, giving the judge a message from the child. You know, they'll say, tell the judge I want to go home or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean the CASA always agrees with the child's position, but they can do that. They can provide an extra set of eyes and ears for the court. And the unique role of a CASA as compared to, say, DHS or the child's attorney, which is called the guardian ad litem, our role is unique because we only have one family at a time. We don't have the huge caseloads that DHS or the guardian ad litems have. And so we see things sometimes that the other people don't see. We're there. We're interacting with the children and the family. We try to see them in foster care if they're there. We try to see them with the parent. We see them at school. We just see them in a lot of different places.
So this is more than simply the legal side of things.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a mixture of legalese, social work, yeah, and protection advocacy.
Right. And the interesting thing is sometimes people will say to me, I'm not a lawyer. You know, they hear it's juvenile court and they say, I'm not a lawyer. And I'm like, you don't need to be a lawyer. Some of our best CASAs are maybe retired teachers or nurses, you know, people who really already have a passion for caring for people and caring for some of our littlest people.
Yeah, I would imagine so, that teachers in particular have had loads of experience in
right.
these matters.
Right.
So you're looking for volunteers?
Oh, absolutely we are. You know, because we only have one family per CASA, we obviously can't serve everybody. One thing they have done is they've added another level, and that is a CASA coach. And that's what I do. And so the CASA coaches can have somewhere between 5 and 10 CASAs that they sort of supervise. And then we, in turn, report to the coordinators. And the nice thing about that is it increases the capacity, the number of families we can serve, without increasing cost and without increasing the number of families each individual CASA has. Now, sometimes people will say, oh, gosh, that sounds really, it's a great cause, but maybe it's too heartbreaking for me or something like that. But the thing is, that's not the only way you can help. You can donate, of course. But the other thing is, even if it's not a good fit for a particular person, almost everybody can say, I know somebody who would be great at that. So if you're listening right now and maybe you think this maybe isn't a perfect fit for you, maybe it is. But even if it's not, if you know somebody who would be a great fit, we'd love to hear about that, hear about that person.
It really is interesting. Now, with CASA, how is this different or duplicate what perhaps the health department does or the child service,
DHS. You're welcome. There are a lot of acronyms in these cases. You're right. So,
I don't do this much. I stick to business. So when we're talking about these things,
That's fine. So DHS, you know, and there are different roles. Sometimes DHS workers are involved in removing the child. Some of them are involved more with providing services to the family and things like that. And then there are the guardian ad litem.
Sure.
That's the child's attorney, and that person represents the child's legal interests to the court. And then there are, you know, these FSRP workers, yes, another acronym of family safety risk, and can't remember the last word, but they, and they're the ones who supervise visitation. They may transport the child to visitation. So we all kind of have our own little role. But the CASA worker really, like I said, they are there to provide an additional set of eyes and ears for the court.
The program is called CASA. We're talking with Jean M. Baker. She's a recovering attorney, by the way, who I love just saying that.
It's I know you do.
I do, yeah, because
I think
it's a good thing. And she works not only as a coach and an author, but also volunteers her time with CASA. We're learning more about that this afternoon. All right, so there's a Yiddish word for all of this, you know, when things get a little messy, it's called soros. You know, it's just painful. Do people that become CASA volunteers, do they have to get used to a little soros?
Well, certainly there's some of that in there. But, you know, it's always – there is plenty of research that shows that the kids who have a CASA have a better outcome. They have a better outcome in school. They have a better outcome, you know, if there is a termination of parental rights, they have a better outcome in terms of finding a forever home and so forth. So though there are those moments of just pure joy and triumph when you have made a difference in the life of this family and this child.
Age groups that you're familiar with. Where? What's the youngest that you've worked with, and some of the oldest?
Well, we actually have what we refer to as baby cases.
What?
Baby cases. And some children are born with addiction, unfortunately, and those children typically are removed right away. And then, of course, there are toddlers. I mean, we can go up. One of my kids was 14 that I've had, so it's all different ages, and. You know, it's interesting because, of course, infants can't tell us what's going on. They can't say, I want this, I need that, or anything like that. And so we have kind of what we do, sort of serve and return is one of the things we look at. And it's just sort of like you might imagine with tennis or volleyball is when the child does something, whether it's cooing or looking around or pointing at something, does the parent respond? To that, is there that return? So we're looking for that kind of back and forth between the parent and the child. That is just critical to a child's development.
I would imagine there are people listening right now who are thinking to themselves, "What? Where is all this going on at?"
It's going on here.
Here in the greater Des Moines metropolitan area.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah.
Now, are you, as far as when we talk about geographic locations. Are you here in Central Iowa, in Greater Des Moines? Where?
CASA is statewide, and mm-hmm. there are CASAs all over the nation, honestly. But sometimes, unfortunately, people don't know about us. I was talking to an attorney in, you know, Jasper County, and he said, well, we don't have CASAs here. And I, you know, didn't really want to correct him, but they do have CASAs
here.
Depends
on what side of the
yeah, right. Yeah. Obviously, Polk County is one of the most active places for that, for a lot of reasons. You know, like I said, we have just rock star juvenile court judges, and they, it's incredible to be in their courtroom. Mm-hmm. The courtroom itself mm-hmm. looks very different. We have, you know, kids' books and shoes and Beanie Babies in the juvenile court courtrooms, and everything is done in the courtroom. Sometimes the child is there. We encourage the child to be there whenever possible. Parents are there, supporters are there. And these judges, I've been in Judge Cox's courtroom a few times recently, and she's so encouraging to these parents, mm-hmm. but they don't sugarcoat it. I mean, they're very clear that if you don't, you know, get everything put together like you need to provide for your child, you could lose your child.
And the bottom line to all of this is that if there is help and assistance available, that hopefully these children will lead as normal as possible and productive life in adulthood.
Right, right. And, you know, it's obviously a really difficult thing for any family to go through. And like I said, there are just a lot of people involved in their lives and telling them you need to do this and go here and keep all these appointments. And what we're also finding now is that there's a new trend called trauma-informed care. And what we're finding is a lot of these parents have had trauma in their past.
Sure.
Maybe they were a child in need of assistance when they were a child. And so what happens is they come into these courtrooms and all of a sudden that trauma, they're just reliving that.
Yeah.
And then they can't really hear what the court is telling them. They don't understand what the court is telling them. And then we expect them to go out and, you know, make all these huge changes. It's really, really hard for them.
It's an incredible story. It really is. And up until you and I had a conversation last month, I didn't know anything called CASA even existed. And now I know, and so do a lot of other people. Thank you, Jean.
I hope so. Yeah. Thank you very much.
How do we get a hold of folks? And we're going to be including all of this contact information on the blog post, of course.
Sure. If people want more information, generally they can go to the website at CASAIowa.com, and that's CASAIOWA.com, or they can call Claire. She is my coordinator, and she, too, is a rock star. And her number is 515-710-0536.
Thank you very much. And you should know, ladies and gentlemen, this is part of a national organization. There is also a national website out there called CASA National. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me and letting me share the word.
Absolutely. Jean M. Baker, ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure to have her share our IOB microphone. We're going to step aside because we've got to take a look at what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you it wasn't really very pretty. It wasn't very disastrous. It wasn't very pretty. It's just kind of like everybody's still unnerved. That might be the watchword of the day today. That's next on the NewsHour. Oh.